We are now joined by our race-winning team, the 22nd Annual Ford EcoBoost 200, Chase Briscoe, who's also our 2017 Sunoco Rookie of the Year in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Chase, this is your first victory. This is your 14th top 10 finish in 2017. Tremendous effort from the entire team. Talk to us a little bit how this thing played out in your eyes.
Yeah, you know, we brought a really good truck first off, and just can't thank Brad and everybody at BKR to, you know, for us to not be in the playoffs and to be shutting down, to still bring, you know, trucks that can win races and set on the poles. Just a huge statement from the organization in general. So just can't thank the guys enough at the shop to keep believing in all of us, and especially me and Austin, and especially me just not being in the playoffs. You would think that you could kind of be pushed to the side, but, you know, we had two poles after we got knocked out of the playoffs and then the wins. So I just can't thank, you know, for them to continue to keep fighting for us. And it was definitely an up-and-down race. You know, we fired off there, and we were really good, I felt like. And Bell kind of ran us down, and we just lost all rear drive in that second stage. I got kind of shuffled on the restart. I didn't do a good job on my end, and fell back to fourth, and felt like we were pretty good right there there at the end, because I started catching everybody again. But, you know, really our pit crew was absolutely awesome tonight, and that's one thing that – we have, I feel like, struggled with a little bit all year long, and tonight they were absolutely on it. So once we got to the lead, I felt like we were going to have a caution, just because it seems like all year long that's kind of the way our luck's been. But we were fortunate enough to go on and win, and I definitely didn't think it would take this long, but, you know, definitely sitting here glad that it did.
Buddy, you got a rookie. You've shepherded him through to win the Rookie of the Year. He's out front for a good bit of the race tonight. Kind of talk to us a little bit about, from your perspective, how this thing played out.
I just have a lot of trust in him. He's from the time I met him down here at Homestead last year, as just watching the race, we knew we were going to get him as a driver. And, you know, the first time I went and watched him practice at Atlanta, he ran about 25 laps wide open, never lifted. And I said, yeah, that's what we need for a race car driver right there. So unbelievable car control. And so you can run a different setup with him than you have to a lot of guys. And you just turn him loose and brag on him a little bit and crack the whip, and he'll get it done.
Brad, both of your drivers have talked in the last couple of days about going out and getting this team, this organization to win and go out on top. What does this mean for you to see your guys come through like this, to have one battling for a title right up to the end, and then to go ahead and cap it off with a race win?
Yeah, you know, it's you know, not a great situation to be in, where we're, you know, we're shutting down the team and so forth. And it's a real test of character to see how you finish it. And, you know, that's everyone, you know, Chase included, Buddy included. And these guys really stepped up. They deserve, you know, a lot of credit for that. It's easy to kind of coast and wind down. And they didn't do that. And they found, you know, a little bit extra, as you can tell, to get in victory lane for the first time for their team. So I'm really proud of that. That doesn't go unnoticed by me. I know how hard a mental challenge that is for anyone, and they overcame that. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that stands out for me tonight. Of course, we had you know, a chance at the championship with Austin, and he ran, I thought, a pretty strong race as well. So proud of that. But you know, it's certainly a special night. Some ways bittersweet, but you know, it's kind of the cards that we were dealt, but everyone made the most of them. So that's all you can ask for, and I'm really, really happy for everybody.
We're going to go ahead and open up the questions. We'll start with Jerry, then we'll go to Greg, and then over to Joseph.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net and Performance Racing Network. Brad, obviously we've heard a lot about this going out on top and, you know, but winning tonight. And do you think you'll look back and regret knowing that you guys were so competitive this final year that – and that you're going to shut this down and go do something else?
Well, I mean, you can only regret the things that you had the, you know, ability to really make work and didn't. You know, it just wasn't feasible to make things work for next year on a number of levels. So, you know, in that sense, I can't really regret it, because it wasn't, you know, a possibility. But I do think we have a great group to go that – I feel fortunate to be a part of, in some small way. Jeremy Thompson deserves a lot of credit of having a great team. You know, I don't think my days of being a team owner are over. They're just, you know, maybe taking a little break, and until the right situation finds me. The right situation didn't exist for 2018. But it might come back around the corner sometime soon. And when that day happens, this will be the last race that we ran, and it'll be tough to beat it, I tell you that. So I'm not sure what those scenarios might be. I know that I haven't given up on, you know, the ownership stuff. I would like to come back to it when the time and opportunity is right. So, regret's not the right word. Regret would only be the right word if it was 100% in my control and I have no plan on coming back. And I can tell you if the right scenario unfolds that, I would do just that. I would come back. So that's kind of how I feel about it.
We'll go to Greg and then Bob and then Joseph.
Greg Engel, AutoWeek.com. Jerry just blew my entire question, but I'm enthralled, and I'm enthralled with the curling too. So the question then would be, now that this is over, because you're in the championship chase, the championship playoff. You're coming into this with, you've got to worry about yourself and Penske and all that. Now that this is over, was this kind of weighing on your mind? I mean, it's got to take part of your focus and concentration away.
There we go.
All right. Part of your focus and concentration away. And now that this is over, I mean, you can enjoy it and put it behind you. And now, maybe that little piece of worry is over with. Does that make sense? Or
is that for me or for him?
No,
oh,
for you.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was for Chase. I was watching curling too. I don't know if I have a great answer for that. I know a couple of things that I feel that I probably haven't said. I feel like I've been fortunate to be a part of some careers. There were a lot of people that took chances on me earlier in my career and invested me and so forth. And that's what got me to where I'm at now. And I'm thankful for that. Part of being thankful for that is not just saying it in words and doing something in return in action. And I've been fortunate enough to help a few people with their careers and, drivers that maybe, people probably think of them more than anything else, like Chase and Austin and Ryan Blaney. We've got Tyler Reddick and Daniel Hemric. It's been great to help those guys and see them be successful. And a lot of other guys, pit crew guys and so forth, about half of the pit crew on my cup car right now has come through these programs, and half the pit crew at Team Penske has. So that feels great to know that you're a part of helping them build their future. It's one of those scenarios where, like I said, I'd like to think of it as a pause, not rather than a break. But I can tell you that this guy sitting next to me, I've been worried about him. I want to see him get a great deal. Hopefully that'll all come together for him, and I'll let him handle when's and where's and what's going to be when the time's right for him. But I do feel like this year was a big leap of faith. We put two rookie drivers in who I think combined starts between the two was maybe six in NASCAR period, and both of them won races. Never had a veteran driver to really lean on. That's a big ask for two rookies. And one that doesn't go missed on me. And they carried the with a lot of poise and great leadership. I didn't see it. Maybe it happened and they didn't tell me about it, but I never saw the two fight with each other or have any of those issues and that you would have, because they're both young talents, guys that I would call first-round draft picks as drivers. So they're going to go on and have bigger and brighter careers than what I could ever give them here with the current model that I have. So I'm happy for them and happy to see them, go to the next step. It's important for a young driver to keep growing, keep building. So, and the reality is I'm happy to see it kind of go for them to blossom and have that next opportunity. It's like kicking the bird out of the nest and making sure he flies. they'll make the most of it. And, I think there's, a few people that I'm concerned about in the shop and so forth, being able to land the right deal and so forth. But the drivers and so forth, they're going to go on and they're going to have great careers, much bigger than what I could ever done for them in the next few years. So, a lot of ways I think it's good for them.
We're going to go to Bob, then Joseph.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. I have one for Brad and one for Chase. First for Brad, does Chase get this truck, or does it already have a price tag on it?
Wow. How much did he pay you for that one?
Well, it's his first win, so I didn't know whether he gets
We're going to have to think and talk about that one a little bit.
I'll take the Eldora truck.
Eldora, was there anything left of that one?
We can build it.
We'll worry about that one. I got to have a meeting with the financial team. Once they see that red number, I might make a word that I don't want to make. But we'll figure that one out as we go.
And Chase, do you have any idea what you're doing next year? And does it stress you out? Or are you like, well, I'm a Ford guy, and they'll figure out what they're doing with me?
Yeah, it's definitely been stressful, especially when you haven't won a race. I think, you know, you try to campaign for yourself and say that you could get it done, but you know, when you don't have a win to count for it, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, I think. So I think tonight was definitely, you know, a big momentum booster for me. I think that it definitely doesn't hurt. I could say that at least. But yeah, I think I'm going to be okay for next year. I think we're going to have some announcements maybe even this weekend. So looking forward to obviously going there next year and seeing what we can do. And just can't thank Brad enough. I remember when I met with him at Kansas in 2016, he sat there and said that, you know, this whole career deal is an elevator. When you get to the top, you got to send it back down, and you send it back down, and obviously getting a win, that's, I feel like, going to the next level. So hopefully I can get back to the top, and then I can send it down for the next guy.
We'll stay over here to the right to Joseph, then we'll come up front here to Lee.
Joseph Walken, frontstretch.com. Brad, I spoke to Kevin Harvick a few weeks ago, and he said he doesn't see himself becoming a truck owner again unless it's part of a group.
Okay. I'm over here.
What do you consider, as you put it, to be the right situation to get back in the ownership realm in the future?
There's a lot of pieces. I think the biggest thing is just the, you know, the manufacturer piece is huge. Having the right support there is critical, financially and technically. And then the sponsorship model is too. You know, I've had great managers run this program. You know, they're going to go on and do some great things as well, and they already got spots lined up, and I'm happy with them, so I don't want to tell where they're going. But so, you know, putting together the team was, you know, a real joy. But, you know, probably the biggest struggle for us is we're always playing from behind on funding. And I would say that, you know, those scenarios are the most critical to putting together the right team. I feel like with the knowledge that I have growing up in the sport and with some of the people I'm around, that we could build a top caliber team, not just at this level, but at the highest level with the right, you know, surroundings financially. But that was just too hard for me to come by at this level. That's, you know, certainly a limitation.
We'll go right up here in the front to Lee.
SpencerMotorsport.com. Congratulations, Chase. You think your parents would let Christopher Bell stay at their house now?
I don't know. I mean, now that they know him, it definitely helped. But yeah, it's definitely funny. You know, looking back, I think it's been probably 6 or 7 years when we first started racing video games together. And he was in Oklahoma at the time and was going to come to Indiana and start racing sprint cars. And like I told you, I remember asking my parents if Christopher Bell could come stay and live with us. And they're like, no, we don't even know who he is. They're like, we're not going to let some random kid in our house. So it's definitely cool, though, you know, for two kids that grew up racing sprint cars together and racing online, and we still race online almost every night together. So it's definitely cool to be able to do double burnouts out there with them, and it's definitely cool for sure. But I don't know if they're letting him stay or not. I think they've even kicked me out at this point, so we'll see.
Did you think this day would come when Mike Hillman left?
You know, I had all the confidence in the world in Buddy. I think, you know, when we had that deal where he got suspended, Buddy came in, and that was our probably four best races, I think, in the middle of the season. So, you know, you're only as good as a team, not one guy. So I had all the confidence in the world in all my guys. And, you know, we struggled last week a little bit, but we still finished fourth, so we knew that we could carry momentum throughout the year. And I think we all wanted to win. I think it's easier to find a job when you go out winners. And I know Buddy's been preaching that all year long. So, yeah, I'm proud of these guys, like I said. But, yeah, Hillman leaving, it didn't really have an effect. I mean, obviously, I love Hillman to death, and he's a great friend. But at the same time, I knew we'd be all right.
And, Buddy, you said it had been a pleasure to work for what you considered was the best owner that you had ever worked for, and Brad. Can you tell us why? I mean, I know it's hard to you know, when you have a full-time day job, as he does for Team Penske, to kind of find that balance?
He's a racer. You know, the best thing you can say about Brad is he was raised in a racing family. He understands the business from the bottom to the top. He understands sacrifice and the whole deal. And when we first started, we didn't have a really nice place to work, but we managed to win out of it. And so he went out and made an investment in a really nice shop for us. He does everything first class, and he raises the bar. He made every other truck team better because he made his team better. And I've worked for a lot of owners over the years, and I mean, whether he's sitting here or not, if he called me back in 4 or 5 years, I'd be the first guy on the doorstep wanting to go to work for him.
Thank you.
He is a great owner, and Chase is a great driver. Drivers and owners make good crew chiefs, not the other way around.
Gentlemen, congratulations on a great win.